Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. Recently, I've had a few people inquire about the connection between dental health and oral health when it comes to chronic illness and chronic fatigue symptoms. And I didn't feel well enough equipped personally to answer some of these questions. So my friend and previous podcast guest, Dr. Lacey Chittle, introduced me to one of her connections, which was Dr. Kaylee Short, who is a holistic dentist. And Dr. Kaylee Short was very, very willing to come on the show and let me interview her about all things holistic dentistry and how our dental and oral health impact our body as a whole and chronic illness specifically. So please join us in this conversation where we discuss all sorts of things to do with dental health, including why the traditional workup you might be getting at your regular dentist might not be enough to pick up on some chronic issues. You can think about certain questions that you might want to ask your dentist. We look at more detail into how to support the body around detox if there are mercury amalgams that need to be dealt with or other heavy metals. We talk about root canals. We talk about TMJ, and we also just talk about things that you can be doing every single day to maintain and look after your oral and dental health. So please enjoy this episode, and I felt like I learned a lot just from being able to interview Kaylee, and I hope that you will too. So Kaylee, I know we've been having a little bit of a preamble before we press record today, and I just wanted to say again that I'm really, really excited for us to speak today. I know that dentistry is really important, and it's something I don't claim to know a lot about. I've got a few questions on intake forms I use with my clients to kind of get a sense of what might be going on. I suspect after this conversation today, I'm probably going to go and upgrade those questions and make them better. But it's just absolutely lovely to have you here on the podcast today to talk to us about what you do as a holistic dentist and the connections between our oral health and dental health, and then the health of the body as a system. But before we get into all of that, I think a lot of people work in this way because they've had some sort of health journey of their own. So if you're comfortable, did you want to share your own health story with us in a nutshell? Because I also know these things could be take up a whole podcast.
Yes, absolutely. I'll summarize. First of all, thank you for having me. This is exciting. I know a lot of my patients and you know, even future patients are always wondering, you know, how we all get here. There's always a story. So I actually have suffered from migraines my whole life. And when I chose to go to dental school, I didn't realize that I was potentially going into a profession that was going to exacerbate, make everything worse. Medical schools are challenging anyway. You're obviously stressing your body in a really unfortunate way, which doesn't make sense because we're trying to go into a field that's making people better. But I was noticing that brain fog, headaches, flu-like symptoms, exhaustion that was unexplainable, many symptoms of such were happening, getting worse. And I was fortunate enough to meet up with a naturopath that relied on kinesiology and muscle testing. And I really give her a lot of credit for getting me through dental school. We sorted out that one of my biggest culprits to my health was my inability to detox heavy metals efficiently. And I was being exposed to heavy metals every single day in dentistry. Mm-hmm. So as I got through dental school, my heart, my real passion went towards more the natural medicine, which was a little bit in conflict of how I was being taught in school. So I knew once I had the choice of how to practice, I would want to find a way to do it as healthy as possible for patients, not only in the moment, but thinking about long-term. So after I completed a required scholarship payback time, I really just dove into the natural medicine route and got lucky enough to be connected with people who had done it before me. That really set the tone. They did a lot of the work for me, but it was pretty resounding, especially in Indian Health Services, to recognize when I had been exposed to a lot of mercury from silver amalgam fillings. The symptoms came forth very efficiently. So I knew I had to manage that and be aware of how I was treating patients in the future so I wasn't making their symptoms worse. I got lucky that the things that I was challenged with actually led me down to this path.
Yeah, and I've just got so many questions, but my brain is just going in all different directions. But I think so many people, I think sometimes these things can happen for a reason, although we would never wish it upon ourselves or anyone to go through some of these challenging experiences. I do feel like they really shape us and help us then like carry those lessons forward to help others as well, even though it's obviously very challenging to go through at the time. So you had some health issues, you pursued dentistry as a career, and then that exacerbated and added to the health issues that you already had. And then from your whole experience, you went more this natural, holistic dentistry route. And what does that actually mean for somebody who's just coming across the concept now? And they're like, what is this? How is it different to me just going to my regular dentist? What would you say?
Yeah, I think that people practice in kind of a spectrum when it comes to holistic dentistry. I have tried to go as far holistic as I can in my space and capacity, and we're evolving and trying to make that better all the time. But ultimately, in holistic dentistry, we're really taking into account the whole body. My intake form is probably similar to yours. Had some functional medicine help from a mutual friend of ours to put together probably the most comprehensive dental intake anyone's ever filled out. So we're not only looking at whole body systems, I'm looking at existing work that they've had done, what time in their lives they've had it done, like what stressors were introduced, materials, their reaction to materials. And ultimately, we don't use any metals. If people have metals in their mouth, we are removing them in the safest way possible using the SMART protocol. We use ozone on multiple levels. Every procedure we do, ozone is involved in a liquid or gas form typically. That is going to really disinfect sites in the most healthy, biocompatible way. We don't use any fluoride. When replacing implants, we use ceramic implants, not titanium ones. We use lasers in many different capacities also. That's also going to help disinfect things. We're really looking for hidden infections. A lot of people come to us because they've seen movies that are pretty hidden now, but movies like The Root Cause, or they've read something or heard something on another podcast, and they come in and get a 3D image, and we almost always find some sort of hidden infection somewhere. And then a lot of people are on existing like detox protocols, and those systems say, okay, now's the time to address dental. So yeah, we're really paying attention to root canal health and hidden infections, metals in the body, overall impact, and also the emotional impact. You know, I've really dove into in my personal life and with like my family and friends, like the emotional toll on life and on health. And dental anxiety is like everyone has dental anxiety. I beg to differ. We have some people that come in and they're pretty comfortable, but for the most part, if they don't have their own personal story, they know someone who does that doesn't like dentists. And so we spend a lot of time getting to know people and allowing them a safe space to have their emotions and have their anxieties and make sure that we're not adding to something that's already really difficult.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I wish you were local to me. I would be knocking on your door for sure. And I know you kind of have touched on this as you've been answering that question, but I was just curious if there's a specific profile of people who come and see you, or if it's kind of a mixed bag in terms of what people are looking for.
It's a pretty mixed bag at this point. I have a whole range. I have absolute novice that are here because their wife told them to come or because they just heard a glimpse from someone that they should try something different. And then I have those that are referred from naturopaths or chiropractors or people that are, you know, taking interest, like what you're noticing of how it's impacting whole body health. I also have whole families. We have parents that are coming in adamant that their children will not go through what they went through in the dental realm. So that's phenomenal. We get to touch, you know, make that impact from day one. And then we have those that have been seeing a holistic dentist for 40 years and they're still on board and still, you know, ready for the newest, latest and greatest to stay as healthy as possible. So we see a little mix of everyone.
And I guess that's what makes it interesting as well, is it's not the same thing day in, day out. It's a nice variety. And a lot of listeners to this podcast are usually people with some sort of chronic illness, with a fatigue
as some of the primary symptoms. So like chronic fatigue syndrome or long COVID, but some people with autoimmunity, those types of things, fibromyalgia. Do you see a selection of people from that kind of set coming into your practice?
Yes, every day. We deal with a lot of chronic fatigue, mast cell, rheumatoid arthritis, you know, just all sorts of conditions. And then we have kind of the, you know, living in America, the kind of standard American model of, yeah, I have a headache every day and a stomach ache, but that's fine. That's normal. So we're really trying to bring to attention that that's not a normal state. That doesn't have to be a chronic, you know, live on caffeine, exhausted all the time mentality. So all of our patients, or not all of them, you know, a good majority come in with pretty extreme symptoms, and we get the chance to see if we can impact and make them better.
And what are the things that you find helpful? I guess I know that, you know, each case can be different and there's usually a unique collection of different things for different people. But kind of broadly speaking, is there a theme of what's usually going on for these types of more chronic illness type of people?
Yeah, I mean, the things that we start with typically are looking for those, you know, chronic infections, low-grade infections that they don't know they have, often associated with root canal teeth or poor healing sites from when teeth were extracted at some point. Metals are a big one, especially the silver amalgams that have mercury in them, because those mercury vapors are releasing neurotoxin near the brain all the time. That in itself creates fatigue and brain fog and a lot of difficult symptoms. And then we're also seeing a big combination of like galvanizing effect when people have mixed metals. They don't realize that they have metals or crowns with metal in them, implants with metal, and a gold filling and a silver filling. And all of those are working like a battery and interacting together. And that causes a lot of harm. It also causes a lot of acidity in the mouth. That's where the bacteria like to live too. So in addition to not only root canals and infections and dental materials, we extensively review digestive gut health, staying in an acidic state, dealing with really harmful bacteria. We do a plaque slide to make sure we're keeping on top of the bacteria state and trying to manage anything that we see that could be crossing a blood-brain barrier. All those things, you know, are typically step one, gum health, materials and infections.
And so if I think about my dental experience, you know, you go to the dentist, they usually just like test your gums to see if they bleed. They maybe do like an X-ray. They have a look inside your mouth and then like, you're fine. Off you go, you know, back to your life. Can you talk a little bit more about the investigations that you do and why maybe that kind of like surface level investigation might not be thorough enough for somebody who's experiencing these, you know, hidden infections or something like that?
Absolutely. First and foremost, time. We spend a minimum of an hour and a half doing an intake with patients. I've had the 5-minute dental review myself my whole life. We have not been able to get through an intake in less than an hour and a half in a really long time. It's just not feasible if you're really getting to know someone. So we do actually a minimum amount of X-rays just because we're conscious of radiation exposure. But we do the 3D image, and that's going to tell us so much information about sinuses, airway, infections, everything. So that's our like initial imaging diagnostics. We then take a plaque slide. We use a little bit of plaque that we collect from just at your gum line. We put it under a microscope and assess the bacteria. That gives us some really good insight into what's going on in your body. And we do a pH test. We actually use pH paper, put into under your tongue, get some saliva on there, and we read your acidity. So that can kind of tell us the state of not only your oral health, but maybe your stress state overall. And then we extensively review your health history. And every conversation leads back to the tooth organ meridian chart. I'm not sure if you've seen one of those, but that's a fun one to add.
I think a long time ago. But
yeah. It's kind of like foot reflexology. There's points and connections in the mouth, all over the organ systems. So we do an extensive review with that and start going through recommendations regarding everything from airway to organ systems to digestion and any recommendations we can make based on the type of bacteria we see, the pH level, and any treatment needed moving forward.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely incredible. Like, I feel like I just need to go and see you just to just to find out what else I can do. You know, just, I think some people are always interested in just getting that little extra edge on their health. And like, if there's anything extra they can do, they want to be doing it. And that's how I feel like listening to you talk. But I guess, I mean, I've always been in the kind of traditional medical system, never had any major issues, but may have issues that I don't know about after talking to you. So what are the red flags for people to actually go that step further and get some of these more thorough investigations done?
You know, I think a lot of people that have done what feels like everything. I've seen the functional medicine doctor. I've seen my chronic fatigue doctor. I've run all the labs. Everything says I'm fine, but I don't feel fine. I know I could feel better. You know, suffering from, you know, headaches every day, digestive issues every day, whatever it may be. Or I had a tooth worked on and it's always hurt. And my dentist said, yeah, it'll probably just always hurt. Those sort of scenarios of just kind of consistent suffering, essentially, or just not optimizing when you've put in that much work and you're like, you know, I want to excel. I can go beyond this. Those are the moments. And I also think that I really appreciate these families that are bringing their children in from day one. We are, you know, seeing these trends in families with multiple children, whether it's the first child to the last child and where there's, you know, nutrition deficiencies and what's showing up in their teeth, arch development issues, you know, being able to get in and manage things ahead of time before, you know, having to go through a lifetime of oral health challenges, airway challenges, gut health challenges. So, you know, I think that the second you realize you want things to be better, you know, that's when you dive in. And without your oral health being optimized, it's really hard to, you know, really get the success you want in your overall whole body health.
And can you explain, just for the listeners' benefit, a little bit more about the mechanism behind that? Like, why is the oral health just so important?
It's really, you know, the first intake. That's where not only is our nutrition, which is, you know, obviously really important, but in this society too, we're not necessarily getting the greatest, well, speaking in America, our nutrition sources are not as great. They're not as optimal. We're exposed to a lot of harmful things. So catching on early when mouths are in an acidic state and not being able to digest properly, it's the whole system of, you know, I'm the dentist that asks if you were born C-section or vaginally, breastfed or bottle fed, because these factors tell us if your body was exposed to certain bacteria to be able to build a correct biome, if you're having proper bowel movements for ideal phase 3 detox, if you're, you know, functioning properly. These are all things that we can catch from a proper dental intake. And if we're seeing teeth break down, there's got to be a reason for it. There's a systemic whole body reason. And if we can catch that sooner, that's going to help. If we catch an airway issue in a child who's already showing symptoms of ADD or, you know, not being able to breathe through their nose, all these things, if we catch that sooner, we could save them from a lifetime of challenges and eventually a CPAP machine in the future. So yeah, it's just crucial to be able to have that initial intake, as well as most people, if you follow the traditional schedules, they go to their dentist more often than they go to their medical doctor. So this is a place too, where we can even find things like blood pressure issues. Depending on procedures that I do, we even check blood sugar sometimes. You know, we can find some of these things that you're not going to get by just seeing your medical doctor once a year.
Yeah, that's so great. And there's something I wanted to ask, which is about the whole mercury issue. I know I didn't prepare you with this question, because I was curious. I'm just thinking out loud about some of the clients that I'm working with at the moment. And if someone has historically had the amalgam fillings and they have been removed, and how long would there potentially be a buildup of mercury in the body even after that procedure if that person hasn't gone through like a targeted detox for mercury itself? Because I was curious about your experience with the mercury as well, and maybe what you're working with clients in this way, where there's like you're maybe helping to remove the amalgams, but then that there's a follow-up process and a preparation process that probably happens as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of people are getting amalgams removed every single day or getting teeth taken out that have amalgams in them. And every time they're cut on or fractured, they're releasing vapors. So they are going into our body. We're exposed to it. That's a thing that can cross the blood-brain barrier. So that's where we see a lot of the dementia, memory loss type things going on. But metals will settle in anywhere in the body, as we know. So even if we're trying to detox, if we don't have the correct binders, they're just going to find another spot in the body. So they can sustain for a long time if you don't naturally have proper detox systems open. In our office, we really make sure to prime patients. If they don't already have a naturopath that they're working with, we always make a recommendation on supplementation prior to and after. Here at the office, I actually just made it easier for patients. I actually have med packs made up that are pre-dosed. So they just go home. That takes the thinking out of it. When you've already got, you know, brain fog, it's hard to put all the pieces together. So we're doing that for you. We always recommend things like sauna, salt baths, ways to sweat every day. And lots of heavy, you know, dark herbs, cilantros, things like that. Anything that's going to help bind. So we're giving all them tools to bind ahead of time and after. And then we go through an extensive process in the chair where you're completely as protected as possible from any exposure. So we're not just going in and cutting on an amalgam and having you swallow sludge and stuff. You know, you've got protective covers on your teeth, medical grade oxygen, your whole body's covered in case any pieces fly around, really large vacuums. We look kind of like aliens at work. We have crazy mercury filter masks on and hairnets also and gowns. And it's a whole process, but it really tends to minimize the exposure patients have. And everyone's different. I definitely have those that we have to take into consideration where we can only remove one filling at a time and then they need time to detox. And then we do the next one, or we have those that can handle three in a visit and they're totally fine. Again, obviously humans being as they are, everyone manages it a little bit different, but we definitely take into account precautions before and after.
And what are the warning signs that someone may need to go more slowly versus somebody could handle a little bit more?
My go-to phrase is, you know you better than I know you. So I typically trust them first. They usually know. People usually have a pretty good instinct in it. If we're uncertain on their detoxability, we'll only do one and we'll wait and see how they respond. But the worst symptoms I've seen from someone that could only do one at a time, they just got like kind of like a bad flu for about a week, really just having a hard time detoxing, some brain fog, headache, very much just flu-like symptoms for about a week. And so then we really spread them out. We would do one, wait a month, month and a half, then do the next.
And you mentioned using the right binders. So what are the types of binders that you find helpful for your patients?
Depending on how well they can detox, often we'll use activated charkel or chlorella are kind of the main two that stand out. And then I've got some other, like one of the med packs I use, I put glutathione in it, but I know not everyone can handle that. So for a little bit more gentle version, we have NAC in the other one. So I'm really taking into account how well people can detox. I don't want to be the one to turn on that filter full bore and be responsible for having them feel bad when they just can't detox as fast.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I've got so many questions. So this is taking out the amalgams can potentially be helpful for certain people with chronic illness. What are the other procedures that you found make a difference for your clients?
Typically going after any additional metals also. Amazingly, a lot of people still have amalgams underneath metal crowns. So you have metal on top of metal, which is of concern. And then the biggest dramatic change other than that is removing infected root canals. I actually had a woman who was dealing with the same thing your patients do. She had the chronic fatigue. She had pain where it was a whole process to even get out of bed in the morning. All of her rheumatoid doctors, no one had answers, had a headache every single day. We took out two root canal teeth in one visit that were infected. And she came back a week later and said she had her life back. She hopped out of bed without realizing she didn't have the pain. She didn't have the headaches. Her doctors couldn't believe it, but they're going to start looking into us also. She is one of the miracle cases. You don't always get that dramatic effect that fast, but yeah, infected root canals, they are absolutely a hidden burden on the body that is doing all kinds of challenging things. And that's where we start looking at the tooth organ chart also and wondering what systems they're impacting. But yeah, when someone says you gave them their life back, that's a pretty powerful moment to know you're doing something impactful.
Good day at work for sure. And can you explain just for the listener, like what is a root canal? Just going into a little bit more detail about how that all works.
Yeah, root canals were typically are initially found to maintain a tooth. Prior to root canals, if you had an infected decayed, hurting tooth. It just came out. There was no alternative. I can't remember how many years back this creation of a root canal came up, where essentially you remove the main nerve and blood supply from the tooth, put in a filling material, and you're actually maintaining a dead tooth in the body. That's, you know, everyone makes mention dentistry is the only profession that maintains a dead organ in the body. And that's ultimately blocking the meridians in that area. And because there's so many different canals in the root canal that are almost impossible to kill all the bacteria, even when ozone gas and things are used, ultimately over time, they almost always become reinfected and or hold harmful bacteria from day one. And that's just a constant drain on the body. So if you're, most people are unaware because you don't have a nerve in there. So you don't know, it doesn't feel bad until it gets really infected. Luckily with our 3D imaging, we're usually able to catch those infections when they're smaller, but sometimes they are hidden. They are large infections that no one knew about. And people's bodies have just been able to withstand it for a long time. So a good way to hide that. So we definitely want to pay attention and try and get those taken care of before anything extreme happens, or to get people back on track, what they never knew they were slowly getting, you know, more beat down by.
And with the root canal, once you've removed it, what happens after that?
Yeah, after a root canal comes out, people usually have a combination or about three different choices. Some people choose to do nothing in that space and leave an empty space there. Usually that's a patient acknowledging whether they feel their body can handle more work or not. The classic restoration was a bridge, which requires cutting down the tooth structure on either side and making essentially a three-unit crown that's cemented in. And then our favorite solution, if the person is a good candidate, meaning they have enough bone quality, quantity, is we'll place a ceramic implant. Ceramic implants have been found to heal and integrate with the bone really well. They also activate meridians as though there were a tooth there, which is fantastic. And it just maintains, you know, function, aesthetics, all the important things going on. It maintains the bone level there also. So you're not, you know, losing bone in that area.
And do you do, like, obviously with mercury, there's a lot of detox support that needs to happen. Is there anything else kind of preparatory or after the procedure that somebody could do to support their body?
The biggest thing is going to be nutrition and rest and maintaining detox, depending on what you're doing. A lot of our surgical procedures, we're trying to run a set of lab work ahead of time. We're really wanting to know vitamin D levels. Vitamin D is a direct correlation to how well the bone's going to heal. So yeah, at our office, we have the option to order an extensive panel of labs, depending on what the procedure is, what the patient wants. So we can give really specific recommendations from there. We're just days away from having an IV option for patients too. We do currently offer vitamin C IVs, but we're just trying to customize even more. Making sure that your, you know, overall stress load is down also. You know, if people come in and say, I'm in the middle of a stressful divorce or new job or this or that, we take into account that that's probably not the best time to do some major thing that your body has to heal from. So, you know, we take into consideration all of those things. And we also, you know, pay attention to what, you know, nutrition things people are doing. We have found that people that have had historically like a vegan diet, something that can't get them the animal nutrients that help with bone healing and everything and inflammation, they don't heal as well. They're not typically as good of a candidate. So we have big discussions on maybe introducing some of those nutrients, not saying they have to eat meat products, but, you know, get some of the proper nutrients in so their bone can heal well. And we rely on people's blood product for surgical healing. We use PRP, PRF product, which is essentially doing a blood draw, spinning the red blood cells out and saving all the healthy plasma, fibrin, all those properties so that they can heal optimally because the body recognizes this is me. I want to heal well. It's like a custom Band-Aid. So if they're, you know, blood supply, blood nutrients, bone health are ideal, they're going to have a much better outcome overall with any additional procedures we do.
So it sounds like just really helping them to be as healthy as possible and topping up in the sort of micronutrient levels and overall nutritional levels to a great place and making sure they're not too stressed, which is hard to do in this day and age. But I was just thinking, like, no dentist ever asks you, you know, what's going on in your life? You know, have you got things going on right now? They don't really ask you about your diet. They just like, this is what you need done. Here's a bill. Let's schedule you in. It's just a completely different approach, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. And, you know, I bet you see such a different outcome, which is amazing to be able to take that time to do that. And, you know, not only are you eating well, but are you absorbing it? Are we getting the ideal outcome that we want? And we do a lot of referring. We realize that, you know, our scope can only handle so much in the dental office. So you'll hear me referring to, you know, neurology practitioners for those that are, you know, dealing with a lot of stressors or past traumas, emotion work people, chiropractors, craniosacral. We do a lot of structural impact when we're working on the mouth. So we're always trying to coordinate with chiropractic or craniosacral afterwards, just to, or before even, just to make sure that we're keeping people on track, least, you know, overall risk of harm in the long term. I can do a great filling, you know, all day long, but if that's going to cause some downward spiral, we want to see if we try and prevent that ahead of time. So yeah, really, really overall wellness is the most important, which sometimes people are so sick, you have to take that leap and do the work anyways. I've definitely had people where I questioned if it was the right time to do it, but you have to start somewhere, and they knew they were ready. They knew it was the next thing. And I've seen more of those. You changed my life, gave me my life back stories by taking that leap and trusting them that they knew their body was ready for it.
Yeah. It's always such a tough judgment call. I find that as well in practice, because some of these interventions are so inherently destabilizing, but the system is unstable anyway with what's going on. And you kind of have to, it's hard sometimes to weigh up that cost versus benefit. But as you say, when it pays off, it's definitely worthwhile. And you mentioned you refer out to other people. I'm sure you have people who are referring to you. So I'm curious, more kind of like from a practitioner point of view, like what should we be asking our clients about their dental health, about their oral health, to understand if they might be referring to someone like yourself?
It's actually amazing how little people know what's going on in their mouth. Like you've said, you go to the dentist, they tell you what to do. You sign up for it, pay the bill, walk out. I have had an unbelievable number of patients come in and we tell them what our findings are, and they never knew they had a root canal. They never knew the metals that were in their mouth, that sort of thing. So, you know, on an intake, to be able to ask what they have or have a basic understanding, or just look in their mouth, see if you see metal, maybe they could send you a photo if you're working from a distance. It's really good insight just to have an idea of what kind of materials alone are in the mouth. You could ask them if their wisdom teeth were taken out. That's a pretty standard practice in the US. And how did they heal? Whether did they heal well? Did they remember it hurting? That's some good insight into possibly poor healing, which is a factor that can really impact them overall. So yeah, asking, you know, if we've done everything else and they still feel things aren't right, if they have any facial pain. A lot of people are dealing with TMJ joint issue things, and asking about their sleep. I'm sure sleep is a big one on your intake form. So do you sleep well? Does your partner say you snore? Are you a mouth breather? If they say yes to any of those things, you know, snoring, mouth breathing, any of that, that alone is a reason to go see a dentist that is going to address airway issues. You can't sleep in a store well if you're not breathing properly. So yeah, just having a little bit of basic insight with all that.
And what do you do with people who come to you with TMJ issues? Because I appreciate that there can be multiple different causes.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the discussion initially is trying those kind of outside referral sources. We rely a lot on, we recommend red light therapy to almost every patient. You know, we have a certain model that we have here that's handheld that patients can bring home that day and start using right away, just for all those benefits. Massage therapists are a big, big factor in that. Craniosacral is kind of our step one, finding ways to relieve stress. Most people aren't introduced to different modalities to, you know, relieve stress on their own, let alone with support. Then a lot of people benefit from some sort of oral appliance to help jaw placement. Our most successful, I would say, option right now is prolotherapy, where we do some actual injections in the joint space with people's PRP, ozone, and some procaine for just to help with that capsule healing. There's also you know, there are limitations where people have like a degenerative joint disease, the joint's breaking down, they are bone on bone. When we start getting to areas outside of our modalities in office, then there's specialists out there that work through this with patients, and then we start referring again. So it's kind of a privilege to be a general dentist and touch a little bit on everything and know when our scope has kind of been maxed out, and then we get into those people that do it all day long.
It just sounds so amazing. Because I've only ever been to like a normal, regular dentist, and it's been very, very boring. You know, it's just so incredible, like all the options you have for people, and then all the potential to feel better as well. And I'm curious, just kind of starting to wrap up things a little bit, if there's any kind of day-to-day things that people can generally do that can be supportive of dental health, you know, flossing, brushing, types of diets, certain supplements, just for those people who maybe don't have any major issues, but just want to stay on top of things. What are some of your recommended self-care practices?
Yeah, we definitely recommend a hydroxyapatite toothpaste. Some people really like, there you go. Perfect. Tooth powders are a common one. The one thing that we want people to look for is if it has glycerin in it. Glycerin is actually acting as a barrier to prevent the hydroxyapatite from working. So that's our one kind of caveat warning for toothpaste. We love a soft bristle toothbrush. Some people really like electric ones. You just don't need to be using a lot of pressure. So we like that. A woven floss. We especially like Cocoa Floss brand in this office, but woven floss is going to grab a lot more debris between the teeth than a waxed floss. And if you are in that more acidic range, you can buy pH paper at home. You can test yourself first thing in the morning, see what your pH level is at. You want to be at about 6.8. That's where your teeth can remineralize. If you're not, if you're drinking coffee, tea, energy drinks, juices, things that are acidic all day long, eating all day long, and never getting a chance to get back in that kind of neutral stage, we do recommend a baking soda rinse throughout the day. That'll just help you get back to neutral until your gut health kind of levels out to where we want it to be. Mouth rinses, hydrogen peroxide based. You can even make your own, just a 50-50 blend with water. And oral probiotics are great. A lot of us were, you know, didn't get our optimal gut biome build by age 3, like we're aiming for with the next generation here. But yeah, probiotics in the evening. There's a lot of different brands out that have chewable ones now too, to really sit in your mouth and help build that biome back up. All those are pretty good daily practice things, as well as for anyone with the masseter pain, the TMJ pain, that sort of thing. Self-massage and red light therapy are kind of our go-tos for that solution.
Oh, that's a great like set of things. I'm going to re-listen to this later and then go like tick them all up on my list. I've got a hydroxyapatite toothpaste that I use, which has also got a probiotic in it, but I think I need to now go check if it's got glycerin or not. I have to find an alternative. Is there anything else that we haven't covered that you feel it's important for people to know, or you want to say or share or express?
I love that you're taking this dive. I think a lot of times the dental is the last portion when, I guess maybe as a dentist, I feel like it should definitely be considered towards the top of the list there. For patients, when you go see your dentist, don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to push the subject. A lot of people feel like they're in a place where they're not the one in power, but you are. It's your body. It's your choice. Again, you know better than any of us professionals do what you need. Definitely take advice, though. I do get some people that, you know, have heard just an inkling here and there about different things that may not apply to them. So get the full picture, but be an advocate for yourself, be an advocate for your family. You don't have to do the fluoride varnishes. You don't have to do these things that often people are saying are required. Make sure you're standing up for what you know is right for your wellness. And don't be afraid to try out another dentist if you need to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know also from personal experience, having had lots of unhelpful experiences, very much about the feeling you get when you're with someone. And for so long, I would go and see practitioners of various, you know, different types of professions and just not have a good feeling. But that kind of like inner people pleaser would just stay and want to be nice and agreeable. And I think a lot of time and energy badly spent has taught me that, like, if you don't get the right feeling with someone, it's better just to move on and find someone you just have a good feeling when you're in their space.
Yeah, we definitely like to refer to it not as an exam initially, but as an interview. You know, patients are interviewing me as much as I'm interviewing them. So I think there's a lot of value to making sure you're answering those questions and trusting your intuition on that. And, you know, if anyone has specific questions, I obviously can't give, you know, medical advice over the phone or over Zoom, but I always make myself available to do consults and just, you know, discuss through or review an organ chart with someone or whatever needs to be done, just to kind of rebuild that confidence in someone that they're on the right path or they need to dive deeper or look somewhere else.
Yeah. And on that note, where can people find you? Where are you based physically? And then where can people find you online and find out just more about you and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. We're in Mukilteo, Washington, which is just outside of Seattle. And so that's where our physical location is. Our website is holisticdental.com. And our Instagram page is where we do most of our, you know, kind of informative things. That is Holistic Dental Care on Instagram. But I can send you those links too.
Yeah, we'll put all the links in the show notes and on the website so people can find them easily.
But yeah, give us a call and we can schedule. My friend, my team's really great about, not only are they super knowledgeable themselves, but they know how to get consults booked in and make sure everyone's questions are answered. Email correspondence, whatever is easiest for people.
Yeah, that sounds so great. I mean, I've just enjoyed learning more about this area so much. So thank you for everything that you've shared today. And hopefully some people will be reaching out to you who you can help or send in the right direction as well. But just thank you so much for being here and doing all the beautiful work that you do.
And you as well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, everyone. We will see you in the next episode.